We're talking with Louise Knott Ahern, who is a reporter for LSJ Media. I found another interesting part in here where you wrote, where you asked the question, you know, why do we eat what we eat? Do we eat junk food because we want to or because we don't know any better? And, you know, something else to throw in there, you know, is because we're lazy. If we got to take the kids, you know, to a game here and a game there, or we're running around and we're busy and we're working and we got to go to meetings, we go into McDonald's as opposed to stopping in and getting a piece of fruit and a couple slices of cheese from somewhere.
Right. Yeah, and you know, I don't think you can discount that. I mean, for all the talk about, you know, the food system itself, we still also, though, are leading lives that demand, where we've come to expect and demand food that is fast and cheap. We have built our lifestyles around this notion that we shouldn't have to spend too much time preparing food. And a lot of people today really don't cook very often. You know, I can think of several families where, you know, if it can't be made in the microwave, you know, that they're probably not going to eat it, you know, except on very special occasions. I look at my own husband who, you know, when I met him, you know, 12 years ago, he had one can to his name. I mean, if he couldn't get it at a drive-thru, it wasn't food. But those are the lives that we lead, and you do have, you know, the slow food movement in the United States. There's been a growing push for people to not just eat better, but restructure our lives to support food preparation again, so we can get back to eating real, fresh, healthy foods that really do take more than 10 minutes to heat up or prepare. And that's going to be a hard change for people
to
make.
Two more questions for you. One involves that it sounds like, you know, from reading from the article, you know, it's so simple, but we forget this. You have to plan and you have to set aside a little bit more time to prepare these meals. And I know what we've done is we've kind of made it more of a family thing. You know, I might get a glass of wine over here and the kids may be shooting baskets at our indoor thing and may help, you know, in preparation. But you need to make it more of an event and set aside time as opposed to someone just going in there and slaving over the stove.
Yeah, and I do, I hear that a lot from people. Many of the folks that, you know, that I talked to said that that's one thing they have done is they've made meal preparation family time where, you know, the kids maybe are helping to stir whatever's on the stove or help to, you know, cut up vegetables. And there are, you know, there are lots of resources on what's age appropriate for kids in the kitchen. If you have smaller kids, what can they realistically do? Well, they can wash vegetables. They can dry vegetables. They, you know, can sort things. And it's a good time for families to talk and catch up about their day. And that's, you know, I have heard a lot of people say that that's one of the ways that they've made more time for cooking is to incorporate it into other family activities. But I think another way that some people have learn to make time for it is to just be really well planned, to know what's coming up in your week. If you know that, you know, one child has soccer one day and another child has, you know, ballet another day, well, those probably aren't the days that you want to set yourself up to have to make a huge roasted chicken, you know, but maybe if you make that chicken on Sunday instead, and then you can, you know, parcel it out throughout the week. You know, those are some of the ways that people have made time for it.
And then finally, you mentioned Carolyn Kimmel, who's a wellness coach at Michigan Athletic Club. And she said something, and I thought about it, and I thought about the store that we shop at, and it's so right. Carolyn rarely ventures into the middle aisles, those rows of towering shelves where she says the pretty packages of artificial flavors and unpronounceable ingredients lure, where we should stay is on the outskirts where the fruits and the vegetables and the meats are.
Right. Yeah. That's where the fresh stuff is. And you know, again, if you're looking for simple ways to make changes to, you know, to how you're eating, you know, she says that's one of the, just a very simple fast, you know, changes you can make is just decide I'm going to fill up the bulk of my cart from these perimeter aisles from the outside of the store. You know, I think, you know, one of the things she said that, you know, a quote in the article is once you start filling up your cart with stuff that comes from a box, you know, you're headed down the wrong path. you know, and it's, I've tried this experiment before, you know, how much can I fill up my cart just from the outside? And you can, and but those are the foods, however, that you have to do something with. You know, we don't eat raw chicken, and I suppose some people, you know, might just eat a green pepper like an apple, but most of us don't. We have to do something with it. We have to chop it and cook it, or turn it into salad, and that's where the hard part comes in.
All right, fascinating article in Sunday's LSJ. You can find that online at lsj.com. And into today's paper, Louise even writes about planning mm-hmm. out for meals. And really,
yes.
You're sitting down, planning, redefining what a meal is, having a strategy, talking about using leftovers, and instead of just diving right into a program like this, taking baby steps.
Absolutely, yep. Best way to do it.
All right, great stuff, Louise. I enjoyed reading
Thank
it.
You.
Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.